Hello. I'm excited to tell you my story today. This is a podcast from someone who grew up around Catholicism but was not fully Catholic until I turned 40 years old. Even though I've always had a great affinity for the Catholic Church, I went to Catholic school, I went to a Catholic university, and during college, I attended Mass. I did not become Catholic until much later. So the question is, why did it take so long? Now, some of this, obviously, is me. I knew that I would have to make certain concessions to become Catholic. I would have to live like a Catholic because there was no way I was going to become Catholic and be a cafeteria Catholic, as some may say, or someone who says, yeah, I'm Catholic, but I didn't want to be that. If I was going to be Catholic, I was going to be Catholic 100%. But it is important to note that one of the reasons I did not become Catholic until much later in life is because even though I attended 8 years of Catholic school and a Catholic university, no one truly taught me the faith. No one gave me the message from the Gospels, the true message. No one told me that the Eucharist was the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. No one told me that. In fact, what I was taught in Catholic school was that as long as I was Christian, or really it didn't even matter if I was Christian, as long as I had some type of faith, it was fine. It's all the same. But nothing could be further from the truth. And as someone who grew up in Detroit, Michigan, I needed that message. I needed the Eucharist. I needed Catholicism. I needed Mother Mary. I needed those things. And I didn't have them, even though I was put in a situation where you would think I would get them. Now, this is not to criticize the people who taught at the school, the nuns and the priest. I know that they were walking a line. The line was they had a school full of Black students and they were mostly white. The teachers were mostly white. The principal was white. They were coming out of the experience of the 60s and the 70s, this idea of, you know, Black empowerment, and they didn't want to step on our toes. There was a big hullabaloo in Michigan about integrating the Catholic schools and all this stuff. So what they did was they replaced Catholicism with a kind of Black empowerment message, which isn't bad, but you can't replace Catholicism with that. You can teach people to be strong and proud of who they are, but you should never put that in place of what will actually give them freedom, what will actually save their lives. When I left Catholic school in eighth grade, I graduated and I went to a Detroit public school. It's called Cass Tech. Now, this is supposed to be a great school, and it is for the most part. You take a test to get in. It's much better than a lot of the other high schools in Detroit. But I mean, it has like programs that you can choose from, curriculums. So like you can take classes and really be ready for college when you graduate. There are a lot of people who have gone there and have, you know, ended up being great in their fields. So I went to that school, and while it probably was a great school for a lot of people, it was not great for me. And one of the reasons is because I'd gone to Catholic school. And Catholic school is better than any public school that I have seen. And that is from being a teacher and being a student. The first day of high school at Cass Technical High, I went to my classes. And the message that I got from every single teacher except my history teacher was, and this is a direct quote, "I got mine. you got to get yours. And what followed in every class except for Dr. Zaff's class, that's why I remember his name. I don't remember the other teachers' names, but I remember Dr. Zaff because he was the only teacher that did not tell us that he didn't care about us and we needed to get our own. He didn't care if we came to class. No, he cared, and he wanted to make sure that we were successful. He knew that he played a role in that. But the other teachers, in fact, one of them, I'll never forget it, she said, I want you to look outside that window. And so Cass Tech was in this big old pickle factory. So we were on the fifth floor at the time, and this was an algebra class. And so the teacher says, I want you to look out that window. And we look out the window, and she says, you see over there in the parking lot? That's my Mercedes. You see that Mercedes? That's mine. I got mine. You got to get yours. So it's up to you. You come to class if you want. You don't come to class? That's on you. So basically, I went from having a message of a loving, caring message, teachers who were looking out for me, teachers who were encouraging and using positive reinforcement to get us to be successful, to a place where it was like, this is a dog-eat-dog world, you know, like get in the in crowd. If you're not from one of these public middle schools that we typically see students from, you kind of are on the your bottom feeder. I come from a private school. Things like I didn't have a identification number because we didn't need them. We only had 250 students in our school from nursery school to eighth grade, so I didn't need that. My first month of high school, I did not have a student ID. My paperwork had been lost. I didn't have a curriculum for a while. I didn't have a schedule for a while. It was total chaos, and I really felt like no one cared about me. And my father really wanted me to be successful at this school, and there's a lot of success to be had there. But because of the way that it started off and the way that things functioned there, I didn't do well. In fact, by the end of that school year, I had stopped going to class, and I fell in with a bad crowd. And when I think back, I wonder what would have been different if I'd been saying my rosary, if I'd been going to mass, if I knew that I didn't need to worry about all of this. I didn't need to fit into these little cliques. I didn't need all these teachers to care about me because I had Jesus. Now, I was baptized in a Methodist church, and we went to church on Sundays. I went until I was, I don't know, probably about 15 or so. And it was okay, but I have to be honest, I didn't get a lot out of it. What I did experience, though, at Catholic school is when we went to Mass, there was something there in the church. There was a feeling, a presence, something, and I didn't know what it was. And unfortunately, nobody explained it. I just thought, oh, it's just beautiful here because they had the Latin on the dome and angels and all. It was, you know, beautiful frescoes and things like that. It was really a beautiful church. And so in my mind, I'm like, wow, I guess that this is just the deal because it's so beautiful. Now, the church I went to, the Methodist church, used to be a synagogue. And so it had some beautiful stained glass windows and things like that. But it definitely didn't have what the Catholic church had. So in my mind, as a child, I just think it's just beautiful here, and you recognize that, and that's why you are feeling whatever it is that you're feeling. But that's not what it was. It was the Eucharist. Jesus was present. Jesus was present. And I didn't know exactly how that worked because I was a kid and I had not been exposed to Catholic theology. So I didn't know. But I think it was a great disservice to not give students that. And I understand why it happened. The city of Detroit is a rough place. And it also is a place that has, for a very long time, been racked with racism on all sides. There is no, oh, this side is not racist. No, on all sides. There are a lot of people in Detroit, in the surrounding area, who come from varying backgrounds. Lots of people moved there for the automotive industry, and there was tension because they're coming from all these different cultures. That is still present today. Now, Detroit is a shell of what it was when I was growing up. At this point, I believe the city has it has less than 400,000 people. I know it's kind of disputed. The mayor said, oh, they didn't count all the people, blah, blah, blah. But when I was growing up, there were over 1 million people in Detroit. And every year, it got a little bit worse. It was one of those things, you know, I didn't know how bad it was when I was young because I attended private school. But there were signs. For example, one day we were going to pick up my sister. This is like, I was a kid. I was about 5 years old. I actually was getting ready to start attending the school. I had gone to public school for kindergarten, which in hindsight was a nightmare. But my parents, they made it, you know. My mom would walk me to school. And just about every day, she was breaking up fights on the playground. And she was the only one. No, it was just, this is just how things go. But the reason that I didn't continue at that school, because obviously going to private school is expensive. And my parents, you know, they were young parents. And at the time, only my dad was working. Then he got laid off and all this stuff. And so what ended up happening was I started kindergarten at a public school. And the teacher was shocked that I could read. But then she was also shocked that I could read better than the first graders, the second graders, and even some of the third graders. So she told my parents that I should go to a special school. The one that she named was pretty far from her house, Bates Academy. And that wasn't going to be doable because we only had one car at the time. So instead, just went to the private school, which was in our neighborhood. So I ended up going to Catholic school in part because of that. Because the public schools around us just were, they were just not good. And it wasn't just the education level. It's not that the teachers were bad there or anything like that. It's just that they had to deal with the kids that walked in their classroom. As a teacher, I can tell you that all the training in the world does nothing to prepare you for that first day when you get those kids. Because nobody can predict what type of kids you're going to get. So if you get a bunch of kids that can't read, and they're supposed to know how to read by that grade, you've got to adjust everything as they come in. So this is what was happening in the school, because the kindergarten teacher, she was awesome. I loved her. Mrs. Earl was her name. And she was trying to teach us things that you would teach in kindergarten, but she couldn't because the kids weren't prepared for that. So I got to go to the third grade class for reading. And she just thought I was just so gifted, but it wasn't that I was so gifted. I was, you know, smart, but it wasn't that I was gifted. I wasn't like exceptional. It's just that my mom believed that you should know how to read before you went to school. And she made sure all of us could read before we entered any schooling. So this was on the parents, you know, the community was not doing this for their kids. And part of the reason is because of the breakdown of the family. So the area I grew up in Detroit, it was predominantly Black. And at the public school, a lot of kids, they were coming from single parent households, sometimes no parent households. They were living with grandparents or aunts or uncles or whatever. So when I went to the private school, there was definitely a shift because most of the kids there, almost all of them, came from two-parent households. So there was that luxury that, you know, parents can have that little downtime where maybe they read you a bedtime story, like you start reading it to them, things like that. And in first grade, everybody could read at least a little bit in private school. And the ones who couldn't read well, they paired them with those of us that could read well. And we all kind of just, you know, like there was no, oh, this kid has a learning disability, things like that. And now that I'm older, I know that some of those kids did have learning disabilities, but they are successful today. And I think part of that is because nobody labeled them. We just loved them and their friends. And, you know, and we saw it as like, oh, you know, those of us that could read well, it was fun. We got to help them out. So that was the beauty of going to Catholic school. small class sizes. You have this group of kids that pretty much you know from first grade through eighth grade. And almost all of them, there are a few that came a little bit later who have not done well in life, but the core group, those of us who were there, like first through eighth grade, we're doing well in life. But one of the things that I know could have made my life personally better is if I had had a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, this is interesting because I grew up in the Methodist Church and it did not develop there. And this is a criticism that many Protestants have of Catholics. Oh, there's no personal relationship with Jesus. Well, I'm going to argue that nothing could be more personal than you consuming the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, or you sitting there in adoration and literally talking to Jesus. I don't think there's much more personal than that. So these are things that could have helped me avoid, skipping school, running with a bad crowd, just really kind of taking a wrong turn in my teen years and taking a very long time to get back on the straight and narrow. So this is something that I think is common in Catholic schools. I've taught at a Catholic school, and one of the reasons I was hired there is because I was like, hey, can I help out, in helping the kids with their sacraments or something like that? I was eager to spread the faith to these kids. And other teachers were not. They did not want to be bothered with teaching religious ed or working on sacraments or anything like that. And this is a place where most of the teachers were Catholic, but they didn't want to do it. Why didn't they want to do it? Well, honestly, I think that a lot of Catholics, they are cultural Catholics and they don't really literally believe what Catholicism teaches. So I want to encourage everybody, if you have questions about Catholicism, this is your time to learn on your own. If you have to go to reputable sources, okay, instead of searching for somebody's YouTube channel, which there are some good ones out there, or someone's blog post or whatever, and I'm not saying those are all bad, because they're not, but instead of getting opinions, pick up the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Read the Church Fathers. Don't just take somebody else's opinion. Because I'm telling you, even the really good apologists and things like that, they are swaying and slanting to fit their agenda. Whether it's just, oh, this is what I believe, or, oh, this is what makes money. So I want you to just be aware of that. For me, I obviously when I was in college and things like that, I didn't spend much time on the internet because the internet was newer, I wasn't as used to it. But I have to say that now, one of the reasons that I think that there are so many young people coming into the church is because they can get the answers on their own. They don't have to take somebody's word for it or wait for someone to tell them. And that's really great. Because while I was going to Mass in college and going to a Catholic university, no one was truly sharing the faith with me. I was not Catholic. This was a perfect time to evangelize me either at Mass or at university. I mean, I took Roman Catholic theology. I'm in the class. I'm loving it. But Catholics step back and they don't say, hey, I go to Mass at this parish on Sunday at 8 a.m. Why don't you join me? And this is something I want to encourage people to do, especially if you live in the inner city. And I mean, just about any inner city that we have here is struggling with depraved crimes and poverty and just honestly chaos and sadness, drug addiction, things like that. Invite someone to Mass. Invite someone, because there are lots of people out here who they are lost, they are hurting, and we should be helping them. I admit that I am sad every time I click on the news for my hometown of Detroit. There are crimes that happen there that are just so senseless. And most of the time, it's somebody that looks like me that committed it. Somebody who has grown up in Detroit and just has no foundation, is hopeless, doesn't have a decent family structure, doesn't have faith, doesn't have a foundation, period. And I think that's a failure because Detroit was a Catholic city. And instead of evangelizing the city, and instead of going into those neighborhoods and taking advantage of the fact that you have a bunch of black kids coming to the school to evangelize them and to make sure that they know the message of Jesus Christ and to bring some of them into the church. Instead of that, a lot of Catholics just moved to the suburbs. And that's a failure. And so now what is happening in Detroit has spread throughout Michigan. It's not just Detroit anymore. The entire state is falling apart. The entire state has all these creepy crimes that you can watch on court TV. I mean, like, Michigan is a star on court TV. They have all these crimes that you can, you know, like, your jaw just drops. Like, for example, the woman who left her kids in her condo for what, like, four or townhouse or whatever, for about 4 years. They were living in trash. They didn't have running water. They didn't know how to clean themselves. They couldn't, one of them couldn't walk very well because his toenails were so long. Like, that shouldn't happen. That's crazy. Meanwhile, the mother was living somewhere else. But this type of thing, it's just, it's crazy. Or the mother, family, who had the young man that had autism, and he ends up dying. And when the cops show up, of course, they lie. Oh, we don't know what happened. But he was, I don't know, I think they said he was like 80 pounds or something. He was a teenager. Just these stories are coming out. And they're not just from Michigan, but I noticed the ones from Michigan because that's my home state. And I'm from Detroit and I, you know, check up on the news every now and then. But I think that it's time for Catholics to realize that, no, it's not just, oh, I'm okay, you're okay. No, they're not okay. They're not okay. Invite these people to Mass. Help them come into the full understanding of Jesus and his church so that their souls can be saved and they can live a decent life. We need to be doing that. We need to be missionaries like we used to be. And that's why I love that Pope Leo XIV is an actual missionary. He's gone through the swamps. He's gone through the jungle. He's done what he's had to do to bring people to Christ. And now, if you haven't been on fire with the faith before, this is our time. Let's get out here. Let's take the world back. We have everything that we need. We don't need to come up with a script. Just go out. You take care of the marginalized. You go to the masses. You go to the people who are hopeless, who are struggling, who are on a path of destruction. And after you help them and you take care of them, you ask them to come to Mass.